Blog Talk Radio.
Unbothered, impermeable, unbothered, impermeable, unbothered. I'm the people's champ, Obama, and you don't understand. Melania, you're permeable, unbothered, sick, allergic to the con artist. Fake woke, an imposter. Only real ones up in my roster, like Junior C. That's my
Happy Tuesday. Can't believe it's another Tuesday. I feel like we do this every day.
It goes up on a Tuesday, that's why.
Right. Oh, man.
So, you're a stranger. It's like almost like I haven't seen you in forever.
I know. It's been like an entire 5 minutes.
That's funny. Oh man. Is Daddy on the line yet?
Let's see. He's always on the road. Okay. He'll be joining us in a He's a busy man. He'll be a couple of minutes. Well, we can start it off. I mean, I know we're laughing, but, you know, most of us that have social media, older people might not know who it is unless they have young kids, but younger people. So today's show is not specifically based on the situation because we don't know all of, you know, everything that happened that led to this, to the end of this situation. We don't know exactly what happened. But if you listen to his music, you know that what we're going to talk about today is something that he struggled with. And unfortunately, we have to say a rest in paradise to Juice WRLD. If you don't know who Juice WRLD is, I'm going to play his most famous song in a couple of minutes. But he had a seizure. He was coming. I'm not sure where he was coming from, but he was on a private jet. And he got off the plane. I'm not sure if it happened while he was on the plane. I think it happened after. He actually had a seizure and passed away. He was 21 years old. It's really, really unfortunate because he was so young. And we're not sure if he was addicted. He said that he was, but, you know, we can only say alleged. We know from prior experience that you can't believe everything you hear. I see Daddy online now. He's on the line.
Hello, family.
Hey, Daddy. Hello.
Hotep. Peace.
Hotep. Somebody's missing.
Hello.
Sister? Oh, okay. So we were just talking about the untimely death of Juice WRLD, and I'm actually going to play the song. To introduce the show, I'm going to play his most famous song. It's a great and sad song, and the words mean something different now after his untimely death. That's the word, untimely death. The words feel different now, and there's another song that I'm going to play that when I heard it, I was sitting there like, oh, my God, there's no way. It's like, it was crazy that he even came out with this song, but I'm going to play that a little bit later. Right now, I am going to go off with his most lucid dreams. We'll be right back.
And done.
found another one, but I am the better one. I won't let you forget me. I still see your shadows in my room. Can't take back the love that I gave you. It's to the point why I love and I hate you, and I cannot change you, so I must replace you. Oh, easier said than done. I thought you were the one listening to my heart instead of my head. You found another one, but I am the better one. I won't let you forget me. You left me falling and landing inside my grave. I know that you want me dead. I take prescriptions to make me feel a-okay. I know it's all in my head. I have these lucid dreams where I can't move a thing. I'll do it over again. I didn't want it to end. I watch it blow in the wind. I should've listened to my friends. Leave this shit in the past, but I wanted to last. You were made out of plastic, fake. I was tangled up in your drastic ways. Who knew evil girls had the prettiest face? You gave me a heart that was full of mistakes. I gave you my heart and you made heartbreak. You made my heart break. You made my heart break. Another one, but I am the better one. I won't let you forget me. I still see your shadows in my room. Can't take back the love that I gave you. It's to the point why I love and I hate you, and I cannot change you, so I must replace you. Oh, easier said than done. I thought you were the one listening to my heart instead of my head. You found another one, but I am the better one. I won't let you forget me.
Because even listening to that song, it always sounds as if, like, he talks about he takes prescriptions to get rid of his pain and stuff like that.
He talks about that in every song he has, he talks about that. And if you listen to a lot of young people and people like millennials, and them talk about Percocets and Molly, and some of them don't even do it, like, you know, I feel bad, you know, saying it. But he said that when he was like 12 or 13 years old, he used to listen to the Future, and he wanted to do, which is, what is that, like cough syrup and Sprite or something like that? Is that what that is? No,
yeah, I think it's like
I think it's cough syrup and Sprite.
It's like, yeah, like NyQuil and like Sprite and like Mountain Dew and stuff, like uppers.
Well, it's codeine. Codeine is one of the operative factors.
And that's a prescription drug, isn't it? That's a prescription.
Well,
yeah, that's why
nowadays
you can't get it over the counter. Like, you gotta give your ID, and like they monitor like how many times you're getting the medication and everything.
When I was growing up, you could get codeine. It was in cough medicine.
Listen, not anymore. Listen, I think it was when I got my wisdom teeth pulled out, And I'm pretty sure it was codeine that they prescribed me. I was like, oh, this must be something, because I don't even know what I was thinking. I think that it was getting to my head or whatever. But I was thinking, like, oh, if my wisdom teeth came out, it's okay if I take this without eating. So I was in so much pain, and I tried to take it. I thought I was going to die. I was sitting in the bathroom, like, Googling codeine overdose, because it was the worst thing, and I stopped taking it. I was just in pain after that, because I would never want something. I think it was codeine. I'm, like, pretty sure that it was. Do they prescribe that for wisdom, when you take your wisdom teeth out?
You know, I can't say.
Oxy.
I'm not an expert.
I think,
but I would imagine
it was
Oxycontin.
Yeah, that's
I don't feel
I think
like it was, because I feel like I was Googling codeine overdose, though. Like, I'm pretty sure.
But codeine
that.
Is too much. That's not for...
I got two
wisdom teeth
at the same time.
Huh?
I got two at the same time, so that could have been what it was. But...
No,
I got four.
I got all four of mine taken out.
Oh, God. I remember that. Ooh.
Yeah.
You're crazy.
No, I didn't want to.
I
did not want to experience that pain again.
No,
but let me step
like
back for a moment.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, I just want to step back for a moment, having listened to the brothers' music. You know, being in the Board of Education and being at it during the time that I was there. But there's something else we all have to start to look at. This problem started a very long time ago.
That is true.
Because my parents' generation, your grandparents' generation, prescription drugs, there was a drug called Darvon. That was a drug that made you feel good. It was almost on the order of having the impact of what Oxycontin would do. I don't think it was as strong, but it was very much like that. And people took Darvon just as a daily drug to be able to function.
People do that with other stuff, yeah.
Oh, yeah. But you see, we all have to know that there's a very good chance, I think, Sasha, you and I spoke about this, that this young brother was given prescription pills as a child.
Yeah, yeah, for ADD.
You know, yeah, which doesn't exist.
Exactly.
ADD doesn't exist. ADHD doesn't exist. What these are is melanated people.
Exactly.
In a Western world.
Exactly.
They can't handle the melanin aspects of the human body. And so what they try to do is they drug you to slow you down. And they claim that it's an emotional problem.
Yep.
I remember an advertisement, or I shouldn't say, a meme that I saw on Facebook. And it was a little boy, a little black boy, little brother, maybe third grade. He had his head on his desk, and he had his head looking to the side, like at the camera that was on him. And the meme said, "I don't have ADHD. You're just boring."
Oh, and that is so true. So true.
I live this family. When I first started teaching in 1979 in the Bronx, there were required workshops that we had to go to that was introducing what we're now calling the special ed department.
Mm.
They were familiarizing us with the special education law, the Lau decree. They were also introducing us to what we call now today bilingual education.
Mm.
1979, same year Rapper's Delight, what they call the first real rap song on the radio. This is all happening at the same time. And our young people, because I have a chance to talk to them, and sometimes I talk to parents who are having challenges with their children. Teenagers, high school, middle school. And what I heard in this young, this was a talented brother that you played the music, the brothers that just joined the Ancestors.
Yeah.
Very talented. Very talented.
Yeah.
But the emotional level of challenges that our young people face, well, look at what's happening to European-American children. They're shooting each other on campus.
So if
European students are killing each other, and don't you think there's not a lot of violence on campuses where it's almost entirely of European descent? And forget about what's happening at these so-called prestigious schools. Don't let them make you think that this just happens in the black neighborhood. Because what we're finding out right now is people of that's right. That's what they do. And they have special programs for their children.
Right.
So instead of going to prison, instead of going, they go to counseling. So don't let them make you think that we have a problem. Western civilization has a problem. This whole opioid thing ain't nothing but crack on another level.
Right.
It's not
right.
crack, but they separate it as it relates to drugs. Okay, we have an opioid problem. Yeah, well, we had a crack problem, too. We had a heroin problem, too. But when they get impacted by it, all of a sudden it becomes a problem, and we need to divert money to help them. But what about us? It's all the same exact thing. When you need something to allow you to deal with your day because you are having challenges in whatever it may be, that's an addiction. And it's important for us to understand that as a people, we can't get brother back, but we have got to begin to look at ourselves. And I think this is one of the things that Dr. Sabi and Sister Ma'at, Queen Afua, Paul Goss, Laila Africa, I'm going through all of the health and health nutritionists that look at our conditions as African people. We have a substance in us called melanin that is activated by something in us known as dopamine. That's where the word dope came from. It gives you, under certain circumstances, a sense of euphoria, which is a natural high. You don't need these things to get high. But when you are eating the proper foods, when you are functioning under a certain condition, your body can function. Your RNA, your ribonucleic acid, can repair damaged cells. Your DNA, your deoxynuclear DNA. Let me just call it DNA. It can help you do what you have to do. So we have to move away from this nonsense about what's happening with us as a people. This young brother should never have died so young.
Right.
But there's a very good chance they put him on drugs from a very young age to make money on him, just like they did with the Oxycontin and all the rest of that in the Western, or I should say the European-American communities. Now all of a sudden people are going to jail. Farmers are being sued because they didn't care. Now they got Juul. The same companies that made cigarettes are now making e-cigarettes. So now they got people hooked on, I don't know what's coming out your mouth when I see that. You look like a smokestack when you be taking that Juul. When you take those e-cigarettes, I don't know what's coming out your mouth. And you don't know what's going in your lungs.
And people are so addicted to those jewels. And it's like now they're banning them and they're saying that they're horrible because when you think about it, you don't know what you're doing when you're putting all of that stuff in your body. Like it's like the hookah and the jewel and all of that is like, and then people get addicted to it because you see people and they can't even walk two steps without doing the jewel.
It was a man on an airplane. There was a man on an airplane smoking that. I kept staring at him because you see the sign. You can't have none of that on. Why are you smoking that next
crazy.
To me?
That's
and we
crazy.
Don't even know the side effects of it because it's so new. So
that's
we don't
right.
know what's going to happen.
And now they're making it in different flavors. They're not doing those flavors for adults. Watermelon and cherry, vanilla. They're doing that for children. And they don't care. They don't care if they're destroying the next generation.
Nobody cares about anything. What is that called, Daddy? When you, as
Cronus
long as you
complex.
Do well, it doesn't matter. Yes, that.
It's called the Cronus Complex. It comes out of the Western world. The Greco-Roman world, the Cronus Complex, is when the mature adult says, I'll do better than my father, and I'll make sure my children can't do better than me.
That is disturbing.
The adult population is bequeathing to our children a toxic world to live in. Whether
this
it be
is a
climate
generation
change,
that's supposed to make the world better.
And personally, I think that this generation is far more intelligent at the age where they are than our age. And they can find the cures for a lot of the problems
but
if told the truth.
I think that's one of the reasons why it's so bad, though, because with intelligence comes emotional distress because you're trying to be better. And it's like you have the compassion and you're letting certain energy in, but you don't know how to, like, when you're intelligent, you're letting energy in that might not belong there. I don't know if I'm explaining it correctly. You probably will, like, understand and explain it better than me. But when you're so intelligent, when your brain works a certain way, when it's such horrible things going on in the world, it affects the way that you react to certain things. And I think that's one of the reasons why young people are so messed up.
When you think on a deeply natural, brilliant level, when that mind lives in an unnatural environment, it can drive you insane.
That's so sad. It's so
sad
when you think about, like,
say that again.
Yeah. No, I'm saying it's so sad when you think about this is a generation that is beyond itself. Like this generation, what the kids are able to learn and do and feel and surpass and, you know, they're not understanding it because they're still children. And it's like you're just like, okay, take this. And then it forms their thought process that I need to take substances in order to, you know, be normal. And that's when it starts. And that's why it leads to what it leads to, because you're in that constant need of, I can't do this on my own. I lack coping skills. Instead of saying, like, you know, how you used to do, Daddy, with the kids. And, you know, you said you used to tell us that you used to utilize their energy and tell them, okay, if you see somebody that's very energetic, you know, they'll be your helper and they'll rotate and stuff like that. Like, you have to use the kid's energy. Like, my nephew right now is, like, literally, I bought a tray table and it came with the styrofoam and he's, like, breaking them up and throwing them and playing basketball. But guess what? He already knows he's going to sweep everything up by the time he leaves his house. You got to let him burn his energy. He's a kid. He's gonna have fun. He's going to do it. Instead of saying, no, sit down and be quiet. Like, you can't do that with the kids.
You know, from an African perspective.
The school system is such a disaster.
Well,
yeah.
You see, the school system in a tropical climate is outside. And at worst, if it's inclement weather like heavy rain or monsoon or whatever, you then go under the tree and you have class. But your day basically is broken up and you run, you jump, you have fun. It's not about sitting in a chair for 7 hours a day under tight rules. That's not how children operate. That's not how and I'm talking about all children. There is an energy level they had a pro football player with a five-year-old or four-year-old, maybe even younger. The football player got tired.
That's accurate. I see how
because
that would be possible.
Young people just have an abundance of energy. That's
mm-hmm.
natural. And that should be encouraged. But this is not what this society is about. It's about control, domination, and containment.
Of everything.
Of everything. Even when you work in an office. Think of a tropical climate. You know, you work outdoors. You say, I'm going to take my work outside, go sit on a bench or under a tree and do your work. But when you're in an ice age or when you're in inclement weather, offices are caves. Schools
mm-hmm.
are caves. Houses are caves. The only thing Africans did in their house was sleep. They entertained outside. They ate outside.
They went to the bathroom.
This is why when you see us go into a black neighborhood, you'll see us outside.
But they make
you know,
it seem like
you know,
it's a bad thing to be outside.
Well, that's right, because it is. To their civilization, it is. And they'll make you think that you're a criminal, that you're up to something.
Yeah, and there's signs that say no loitering and no assembling and no all of other craziness.
Well, that's Western civilization. And that could have an impact on the emotional development, particularly like Condi K, like you say, for young people. I have a collective amount of experience. And I know when it's time to sit down and focus. I know when it's time to
mm-hmm.
get up and exercise. But a child doesn't know that. They don't have the collective experience that I
right.
have. And they are controlled and contained so that when you have this young brother, genius that he was, in a community that has labeled him something wrong with you,
mm-hmm.
that alone is a problem, even if they didn't have him on drugs. Just thinking there's something wrong with you is a problem.
Exactly.
And this is why it's just so important for us all to be able to move and to do and to understand what it is that we have to do as a people. It's very sad what I see. I pray and I hope that we as the adult population will be able to get to our young people. My experience is working with young people is just to listen and let them do what they have to do, but stay and understand that you're living in a world that you have to play the game.
That just seems so difficult nowadays.
It is. It's difficult for the adults to do that. So how are they going to be an example for the children? The adults are on opioids. You know, people don't talk about how many people are dying of opioids. They're really not talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
That's what my webinar focused on. One of my webinars focused on how the European community, see this regentrification, and you see a lot of people of European descent coming into the black neighborhood. What you're noticing is
mm-hmm.
that those are young people coming. Those are young people coming. You don't see no old people coming. The young
nope.
people that are coming into the Harlems and into the Bedford-Stuyvesants and into the Comptons and into the Detroit neighborhoods where they're attempting to push black people out, the reason why they're
mm-hmm.
moving into those communities is because they are escaping Iowa and Idaho. They're escaping parts and communities where they come from because their communities are dying. There are more deaths amongst Europeans than there are births. For every one of them that die, them being people of European descent, for every European that dies, six will not be born.
But that's why there's such mm. a focus on biracial kids. I was just looking at an advertisement the other day. And I'm like, they don't, like, it was a black man and a blonde white woman and biracial children. And one thing that I've also noticed, and I don't know if you noticed this too, either of you noticed this, when it's a black man and a white woman, when it's a family, it's a black man and a white woman. Or when it's a single couple, it's a black woman and a white man. Have you noticed that? Is that a thing, or am I just making that up?
Well, the dynamics of gender has a lot to do with that as it relates to relationships, which is a very interesting dynamic. And that's why you have a movie like Mixed-ish.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
See, the only way that Eurasian, and don't get lost in China either. China has a very serious problem.
They're the largest interracial couples in the world, I think, with Asian women and white men.
Yeah, but guess what? That's going to die out. The only hope that the human family has for survival is to return back to the original.
With black men.
Or women. That's the only way back. Eurasians are mutations of the original people who are melanated.
Yeah.
And because this world has put labels on people like Asian and African and European, and then the cultures that come from those three ethnic stocks, one of them is the original race. There's only one race, and that's the human race that was born in Africa, period. Migrations then changed the different morphology and physiology of the human family. But they were never meant to last. They were meant to return back to the original stock and be able to mate in order to return back to the black. That's nature. That's not personal. But they came with a xenophobic mentality. They came with a fear of the foreign. They came with a warped Ice Age mentality, and they divided the human family up into pieces. They were never meant to last.
That's so disturbing.
They are no older than 10 to 15,000 years old. And when they came out of the ice, the first thing they should have done was find the original archetype to mate back with, to go back onto the chain of the human family. Instead, they only made it amongst themselves. So the people we're dealing with today are not mutations of Africans. They are mutations of Africans. I'm
so
talking
crazy.
Science here. This isn't personal. I'm talking science. I'm talking DNA now. I'm talking haplogroups, which has to do with the identification of the inner workings of the human body. And so we as a family have to understand, peoples of European descent better wake up. Asians better wake up. Chinese people are not going to be here for a very long time. They're dying out too. China is dying out. Japan probably will not exist as the island we know by the year 2100.
That's crazy.
But nobody's talking about it. But if you do the research, you'll see it yourself. Don't believe me. Go do the research.
That's crazy. But we don't think that can happen. And most people don't care because it's not in their lifetime.
That's the key. You hear what the attorney... No, you heard what the attorney general, Barr, said. Asked him, why are you doing all these things? He said, by the time you find out what I've done, I'll already be dead.
That's crazy.
That's
how they think,
crazy.
Though.
But think about it. Think about what he said. He's telling you the truth right in
all
your face.
All of it's true.
He's telling you exactly this is it for them. They know it's over.
But
they know that by 2040.
Was it Richard Spencer?
Yes.
What Richard Spencer said? That was what you said was the most important thing in race war?
Yeah, it ain't about morality. It's about winning. He said morality is weakness.
Hmm.
To have a moral code is weak.
That's crazy. How? You're not even a human being if you feel that way.
Well, you're kind of human. Not humankind. You're kind of human.
I guess so. But there's people that do that and don't even realize they're doing it. And they think that they're just, that they're, you know, doing well in business and doing all these things. But there's so many people that they feel that way. They don't care about morality. I've dealt with that being in corporate America. They don't, and that's why I'm not, that's why I don't care where I go, who I'm around. Don't try to put me in this position, because the higher you go, the less morality you will find. And I am not interested in immoral people.
Kondike, when you're dealing with those terms like that, where where you are doing wrong things, but you don't know that you're doing wrong things. When you're doing wrong things and you're well aware of the wrong things, which one is the sociopath? Which one is the psychopath? I think the sociopath is the one that doesn't know that they're doing the wrong thing, but they're just doing it, not caring.
Yeah, I think so. Hold on. Let me Google this.
I feel like a sociopath is one that knows, and a psychopath is one that doesn't know.
Okay.
Like, I feel like a psychopath.
I'm gonna look it up right now. Hold on.
And then you have the neurotic, you know, and the psychotic. That's why I said you have to know the difference between a neurotic, a psychotic, and a psychopath.
So the sociopath is a person with a personality disorder manifesting itself in extreme antisocial attitudes and behaviors and a lack of conscience. And then the... You said the sociopath
do they know that?
And a psychopath.
So a psychopath
is a personality. It's persistent antisocial behaviors, impaired empathy and remorse, and bold, disinhibited, and egotistical traits. It is sometimes considered synonym with sociopath. So I guess
Put in psychopath versus sociopath, and it'll tell you the difference.
Okay, here we go. Sociopath versus psychopath. What's the difference?
Or sociopath versus...
All of that boils down to, honestly, in my practice, it's antisocial personality disorder. So, like, it's like a personality disorder. Like, and it's very interesting because in the field, there's many clinicians who thrive off of interactions with individuals who have a personality disorder. Me personally, I can't take it because they take me in circles. I can't, because it's like Daddy Yori used to say, if it makes sense to you, then you start to you know, come up with those characteristics. So it's very hard to make sense out of what they're doing and saying, because they're just purely going off of, you know, what they're deciding to talk about for the day. So it's an emotionally exhausting, you know, people to counsel and to be around with the personality disorder. But both of them, I mean, they're very similar, the sociopath and psychopath.
See, my thing is...
Those are kind of far removed from the practice. Like, they don't really use the difference because they're so similar. Like, they're very... The characteristics are very similar, but I understand your point, Daddy, because there's individuals who know what they're doing, and there's individuals who may not. They may subconsciously know what they're doing, but they don't realize exactly what they're doing. Like,
yes,
the president.
And there is a deep.
Or
but
Kanye,
you see, he knows. But you see, he knows what he's doing, and the reason why he knows what he's doing is because he's covering it up. See, if you weren't covering it up,
and
you would,
Kanye West would be different.
Because I don't think Kanye would ever do anything so horrible to other human beings.
Yeah, I don't think
Kanye may have his thing, you know, but I have never heard of him or recognize him hurt people. He may say things that you know, that people don't necessarily like to hear. He may express things that nobody likes to hear. Donald Trump has killed people. He has killed people in Syria when he pulled those troops out. He killed people in Ukraine when he would not allow those monies to be sent and to help them fight the Russians. He caused people's death in his decision.
And didn't care.
And that's not to mention what he's done on the southern border with that recent young brother, 16 years of age, who died.
Oh, goodness.
And so he has made decisions that has killed people, that have taken lives. And that's the difference between saying things that you may not like to hear, like 400
mm-hmm.
years, you know, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we don't want to hear that. But that didn't cause nobody's death. So Kanye, you know, is a different situation altogether when you get into the ability to make decisions that impact people.
Mm.
But it's just very interesting. But to tie it back to the brother, please, what's the brother's name that passed away? The young brother, the rapper?
Juice WRLD. Juice WRLD.
Say that, Juice WRLD.
Juice WRLD.
Wow,
yeah.
Even his name is interesting, Juice WRLD. Wow. Wow, you know, for our young people, you know,
his name is
Jared
Anthony Higgins.
Okay. Is he from, where is he from? Do you know?
I was just going to say, and he's from Chicago.
Chicago, yeah. Wow. What a talent. But, hey, guess what? Look at all the folk that have been so talented. It goes back to what you said, Sasha, about sometimes when you are the most gifted, you are the most fragile and vulnerable in the society because of your gift.
Yeah.
Sometimes the more intelligent you are, the more sensitive you are. And it causes a great deal.
And that's what I'm saying. Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Like even when XXXTentacion, when he died, he was just coming into the person that he wanted to be. Like, he had made mistakes, and a lot of people had. But there were so many young people that were heartbroken because they thought that there was something wrong with them, but then when he made the songs that he made, they felt better about themselves. There's so many young people that felt better about themselves because of the songs that he made. So there were so many young people that were so heartbroken when he died. And this song that I'm going to play in a little while, Juice WRLD made this song, I think, the day after X died. So the day after he died, Juice WRLD made this song. And wait until, I'm telling you, I should play it now. I'm going to play it now. Just listen to the words to this song. Listen to all the words. Gotta get back. Just listen to the words, and you'll be as shocked as when I heard the words, because I was like, this is crazy. So listen to this. So we'll be right back.
I usually don't speak on the show anymore. Nobody else has.
I usually have an answer to the question, but this time I'm gonna be quiet. Diamonds and pearls, yeah. I usually have an answer to the question, but this time I'm gonna be quiet.
You know that song?
Go ahead.
No, I'll follow you.
No, I was going to say we were literally trying to find out what the other song, because he had another hit song. So we were trying to figure out, and when I heard the song, I was like, oh, my God. He turned 21 on December 2nd. December 2nd was a couple of days ago. And he turned 21, and he said he's not.
And that's
make
crazy
it past
that
21.
He says that in the song. Yeah.
Exactly. What were you going to say?
You know what reminds me? No, that song, in some of the words that he talked about, that remind me of the song that your brother turned me on to, Heru. But I first heard the remake by Chris Brown and Nas. It's called Die Young. Remember the rapper that made that song originally, Die Young?
Chris Brown and Nas
and then,
made that song too?
Yeah, Nas and Chris Brown remade the song Die Young.
Jay-Z did it too, didn't he?
I don't know. I can't say. All I know is
I
was listening.
With Nas and Chris Brown.
In fact, I've got them both on my iPod. But I remember this was another young brother, was a rapper, and he got shot.
Mm.
And he died. But he had just done this song called Die Young. And, you know, it was just a very powerful song. And that's why I have to get his version of it also. His name escapes me right now. I'm sure the people who are listening know who I'm talking about.
Ching. No, it's Ching's, what's his name?
Ching.
And he died.
Yeah, Ching's. He did the original Die Young that I know of. I can't say if it's original or not. That's what I heard. And then after he died, it was remade by Chris Brown and Nas. Say what?
His name is Ching's If I Die Young it's Ching's Drugs. But they changed
okay.
the Ching's. Because I guess the drug
okay.
part was not that great. And he
okay.
died recently, too.
You know, I thought about that song because I heard the brother Juice talk about Die Young.
And he said he doesn't want to be a legend because it seems like all legends die young.
Yeah. And, you know, the other thing is to understand what a lucid dream is. Because lucid dream is metaphysical term. A lucid dream...
Oh.
For instance, is when you begin to control your dream, that you can actually begin to develop a way that you can
crazy.
Control your dreams. They call
crazy.
Lucid dreams. Like for instance, if you want to wake up, if you want to program yourself to wake up, you can tell yourself that you are going to go to your bedroom door and knock on it.
That's
and
weird.
In your dream,
That's weird. That's
oh yeah,
weird.
But you know they say you can do it. You know they say you can do it. You know when you're dreaming, and you feel like you're awake and you actually can see yourself laying in bed, but you can't get up. Okay, there are levels of dream. That's why there's levels of sleep. Some people sleep very lightly. Some people sleep very heavy. And then you have the matters of degrees between. You can control, in lucid dreaming, you can control your dreaming.
That's disturbing.
Like when you're
That's
having
crazy.
A bad dream and you want to wake up, There are ways that you can wake yourself up if you're having a bad dream.
Huh.
Something that's frightening you. You know it's a dream, but you're still experiencing it.
Hmm.
And it allows you to be able to pull yourself up out of the dream. And you
yeah,
just do
that,
certain things.
That happens to me all the time.
Because
then you're able to recognize that it's a dream. And then I'm like, okay, wake up. And then I usually am able to wake myself up.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
There,
I mean, it hasn't happened to me in a while, but it used to happen to me all the time. And I'm like, okay, this is just a dream. And then I can wake myself up.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
And, you know, when you get into lucid dreaming, and so I imagine when I was listening to the brother talking about lucid dreaming, this is what he's doing, because to him, his waking state is a dream, and his dream is where his reality is.
Wow.
That's another aspect to all of this, that you're actually...
But don't drugs do that to you sometimes?
But falsely. That's,
yeah,
that's
no,
why
I
don't,
no, but...
But there are ways that you can do it naturally.
Of course, but a lot of people don't know that. They, you know, people think that the drugs is the only way for you to get into that type of, like, feeling.
Well, you know, in the ancient world, and you can even come here to America with the Native American, with the mushrooms. There were, ways in which it wasn't drugs as we know them to be drugs. They were used to assist the individual to go to places that they could not go normally. They were all plant-based. They were all legal. They were part of the system of, like when they were fasting, what they would do is before they would stop, you know, eating altogether and taking the herbs, what they would do is that they would take herbs to move to higher levels of consciousness. That's what the mushrooms were for. But like any society that abuses things, if you're just doing it to get high, that's a difference than if you're doing it for your own spiritual experiences. And that's what a lot of folks started finding out back in the 60s with the hippies and the LSD and all the other stuff that they were trying, you know. And, I mean, they had a lot of different things out there, you know, and they was just taking it all in. But they were doing it to get high. Now, there were some that were doing it for other reasons which were more acceptable, that would have been closer to the ancient world. They didn't do it every day. They did it when they were moving into certain areas, and it was all plant-based, which meant that it wasn't chemicalized. And that impacted certain nerve centers of the central nervous system that allowed them to have experiences that would open up doorways to them. Now, that's very difficult to talk about because of the drug epidemic that we have.
Yeah.
Because when I say things like that, it makes it seem like I'm saying it's okay to do it. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that there are societies in Asia and in Africa and in America, the ancient societies, that understood plants, and they did not chemicalize them. They did not make the coca leaf into cocaine. You know, the Native American used to chew the coca leaf. And the coca leaf as a leaf gives you a lot of energy. The worst thing it does is
it decays
your teeth.
It does that. Allegedly, it does that in the powdered form as well.
Yeah, but the powder form is chemicalized, which means that you've brought other chemicals in, and that's what messes up your nasal passages. That's what messes up parts of your body, because you're dealing with chemicals that are destroying the fabric of your physical body. But when you chew the coca leaf, that's a different way, because now what you're doing is you're ingesting the properties of the coca leaf, and you also aren't like eating the whole damn plant. you're just chewing on one plant, a section of a plant. And that's basically what the Native American did. It gave them energy. It allowed them to navigate the mountains of South and Central America. And they also used it to take them to different levels of consciousness. But when you chemicalize, you change the nature of what it is that you're putting in your body, and then that impacts in your There are many different plants that you have that take you to levels, but when this world, when the pharmacy, you see, because every plant, that's why it's a pharmacy. A F2PH, and if you think there's a difference, you have a pharmacist with the pharmacy. These words, a pharmacy, he just chemicalized all the different
forms. Yeah, your phone is breaking up.
My phone is breaking up?
Oh, I can hear. Okay, we can hear you now. I thought it was me, and then somebody else said it too.
Okay, no, maybe it's me because where I'm moving through.
We're good now.
Okay.
You were saying some really good
stuff
about the pharmacy, and I think we missed it all.
Well, no. What I was saying is that the pharmacy comes from the word farm.
Oh, that's what I thought.
And the
pharmacist,
the pharmacist comes from the farmer because all of the things that you get from the pharmacy have been chemicalized things that came from the farm.
That is so crazy.
They just changed the F to PH and make you think that there's a difference. But you're dealing with plants.
That's crazy.
It is when you don't know history, you know, when we have been denied this knowledge and wisdom, it's right in front of us. We say we're going to the pharmacy. But that's the farm. And you're going to talk to the pharmacist. And that's the farmer. And when we were, and this is why Dr. Sabi and Sister Ma'at, going back to them, was so important. And that's why their herbs and the things that all of the different health nutritionists have, they are all plant-based. But when you have someone like Juice WRLD who is in a system that is oppressing them, the pharmaceuticals make money. Billions of dollars. Ritalin is one of the most
used.
Absolutely. Ritalin is one of the most highly used drugs on college campuses.
That is crazy.
Because Ritalin makes you focus. And so when a lot of college students are going to take a test, they start taking Ritalin so they can focus when they're studying. That's the same drugs that they give children when they accuse them of having ADD and ADHD. It allows children to focus. That's why when you're dealing with someone like Kanye and he's all over the place.
But you know what the drug is actually doing is making you become hyperactive so much that you calm down. So those that, you know, have an active, you know, way in which they are, that the drug does, you know, it slows them down. But if you don't have anything, it does the opposite of what it's supposed to do. So it's like the reason that you calm down so much is because you overexert yourself to the point where you just shut down, your body just shuts down, and that's why it makes people look as if they're just zombies.
Yeah.
And then when you don't need it, when you don't have, that's just like any drug that people take, like any prescription drug. Like if you don't have what you're trying to do, or what they're trying to cure, or what they're trying, quote unquote, cure, you know, it makes the opposite of what it's supposed to happen. So that's why people use it as recreational, because it gives you that feeling that, you know, it gives you a good feeling as opposed to what Juice WRLD was saying was a negative feeling for him. And that's why even in the interview that I was listening to, he was saying that people were asking to buy the ADHD or ADD medication off of him. And it's like,
yep.
It's so crazy what people will turn, they'll turn, you know, what is quote unquote supposed to help. And that's why a lot of people who take the medications and they don't need it, it does the opposite effect. If you notice on those commercials and they try to do it as quickly and lowly as possible, they'll say, like, it'll be a medication for depression. And it'll be, like, the side effects. It may cause depression. It may cause suicidal ideation. And it's like, what? It's making you worse. It's making you feel worse than you actually feel right now. Like, it's crazy because what people have to realize is there's a huge difference between a chemical imbalance where you need those quote-unquote chemicals in order for you to be balanced, as opposed to this is situational depression or situational symptoms of anxiety that you're going to move through it and you're going to go back to status quo. There's no chemical imbalance. And then when you put those chemicals in your body, you throw your body off, and you throw off those, you know, what you're supposed to be experiencing. So that's why in my practice, I always, you know, try to differentiate between the two, because there's a huge difference between needing a chemical, you know, needing the chemicals to balance you, as opposed to just needing some coping skills in order for you to be able to move past what you're experiencing. And sometimes you have to experience what you're experiencing. Sometimes people are so nervous of crying, so nervous of having feelings, that they don't realize that it's just human nature. You're going to have feelings. If you didn't have feelings, you wouldn't be human. If you didn't get sad, if you didn't, you know, feel a certain way or when certain situations occur, you would not be human, and you would not be tuned into your feelings.
Nobody wants to be tuned into their feelings anymore because it's so bad nowadays. And nobody wants
to
feel
anything.
Well,
that's why people... But that's exactly why people do what they do. They, you know, they turn to things that temporarily make them feel better to the point where it's like, okay, when it doesn't work, then you start to feel like you need more, and that's when the overdose. There's a lot of individuals who don't purposely overdose. They do it by accident because the first high that you get is the best high that you'll ever have. And you'll never be able to get to that point again. So you have your body gets adjusted to it. So you have to keep upping the dose to the point where you're not really aware of how much you're actually taking. And that's when a lot of the overdoses occur. It's not on purpose. A lot of them are accidental.
That's crazy. But that's why they have all those huge signs for, what's it, naproxen or something?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the hard part because are you talking about the drug that, like, if you overdose, you take it? Like, they tell you to carry it?
Yeah, I think that's like, they tell you, like, random people carry somebody overdose,
people
in the corner.
But that's hard to tell because you don't realize that you're overdosing until you overdose. That's only helpful in the minutes of your overdose or, you know, with it, like an immediate situation. Like it's very hard because a lot of times they hand out I forgot the exact name of it, but they hand it out to those that they know are going to use because sometimes it's unavoidable and they rather at least have it on them for somebody if they see them in the street, like, you know, overdosing, they're able to administer it to them.
But I mean, if you're in a bad place, how would you even know when you're over? Like you said, like if you're
on drugs,
you're high.
That's
how would you know if you're overdosing? Like you're high.
You don't really know because
it's like you're pushing the envelope. You're pushing, you know, you, a lot of times they go just to the border, and those that survive are right near facing their death. And it's like,
that's crazy.
A lot of times, yeah,
it's Russian roulette.
You have to realize, you have to, yeah, but you have to realize that the state of the mind that these individuals have to be in for them to be gambling their livelihood and their lives, you know. And a lot of times, like, even Juice WRLD is amazing, but you can hear the darkness in his voice. You can hear the darkness in his songs. It's a lot of kids and adults as well, but there's a lot of individuals who are trying to give the signs, and they're trying to, you know, to ask for help without asking for help, because a lot of times they're ashamed and they're looked at differently, and nobody ever wants to be the one to seek help. And it's like, literally, therapy and counseling is just conversations. And we do it amongst one another, and we do, you know, but there's some things that you just may not want to say to those that may know you. And that's where therapy, counseling, or whatever you want to call it, comes into play. And a lot of times we do it, and you know, as people of color, we don't realize we're doing it. And, you know, we've had conversations about this. Like, you go to the nail salon, you tell the sister across from you what's going on, or you go to the hair salon and you tell, and the brothers go to the barbershop and they talk about what's going on. Oh, my girl did this and this is that. So it's like you don't realize that you're doing it. That's therapy. It's speaking and getting out your feelings that you need to get out, because if you don't get it out, you just sweep it under the rug, and it's not that it's not there anymore. As most of you know, if you were to have a big rug and sweep all your dirt under the rug, does it disappear? It does not. It just piles up and piles up to the point where it becomes
being dirty and messy. Difference between being dirty and messy.
But it's just, you know, we have to have these outlets. We have to have these ways of being able to, if we're down, if we're feeling a certain way, to be able to have that comfort zone or comfort place where you feel like I can let my hair down. I could be myself. I don't have to be this person. And a lot of times celebrities, they don't have that, because those that are around them have motives. They have alternative motives, and they're not necessarily the best for them. I mean, I sent you and Mari the picture of
okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's where that
you're not allowed
our last
to have,
thing of the
you're
cancel
not
culture.
To, yeah. But I mean, we were laughing about it, and me mainly was laughing. The Kanye picture that I sent where he just ignored on. And,
oh God.
And it's not funny. I mean, it's funny because of the comparison. It was a really spot on comparison. But it's a sad situation because those that are around individuals such as Kanye are not telling him and not being truthful with him, and not, you know, there's certain things, like, it's like kids. Sometimes you don't realize that people's wavelength, the way that they process it, it's kind of like kids. You're not going to let kids just do whatever they want to do. You're going to say, hey, look, you know, you can't wear that to school. You can't let them wear princess outfits to school every day. Just like you can't let individuals who are clearly dealing with situations, you can't let them just go off the deep end because they're an adult. There's a cognitive and there's an emotional intelligence, like Daddy says all the time. There's emotional intelligence. There is book smarts. There's multiple intelligences that are out there. And just because you're an intelligent individual, and just because you are a certain age, does not mean cognitively you're able to be where you need to be, especially when you're dealing with a crisis.
But Kanye might be a genius, but he's not a genius in other areas.
Well, he's not emotionally stable right now. And you know, for me, I look at it, and you know, you guys laugh at me all the time because I'm a social worker 24/7, like some of my coworkers. They're not all my coworkers are social workers. They laugh and they're like, you're very, because I'm just like, everything will be okay, you know, and I analyze everything, and, you know, let's think about it from their point of view. And they're like, stop it, you're always a social worker. But looking at that picture of Kanye, you can see in his eyes and you can see in his expression
that there is something that's within that is truly, seriously affecting him. And my concern is
with
those
kids. But maybe he's happy. He might
Does
be
he look happy,
happy
to you?
And those kids might be
Does
just
he look
fine.
Happy?
Yeah, but the thing about it is a lot of times with stuff like that, I think that they're not happy according to human standards because the world sucks.
No.
That's how I feel. The world is a terrible place, and the world if he's happy, the only way that he would be, in my opinion, the only way that he would be unhappy is because he's being judged by society. If he was
no,
allowed
when
to
I
be
say
himself
happiness,
and people didn't judge him, I don't. But, he might. If he's happy, if he's content, and if his family is stable, and if him and his wife have a good relationship, it doesn't matter what he does. As long as he's not hurting people, I think that we judge people based on our perception of normal. And a lot of people self-medicate because they don't feel normal.
But it's not normal, and it's not happiness. When you look at him, you can see that that's not
according
happiness.
To,
No. So when you hear what people say, like, you know, and I say this all the time because I have a lot of coworkers that, you know, other individuals, they kind of get to them and they're negative and they're upset. And I said, you have to realize that what you spew out there, what you do is what you receive and how you feel. Like I can't go to work and like yell at people. That's like not something I can do because that's not in me to be so negative and upset and stuff like that. But individuals who spew negativity 24/7, who are upset, who are angry with, you know, situations, you're going to take that out on others. And it's like it has to come from somewhere. You can't be happy at home and then do things on the outside.
But Kanye wasn't that angry.
But you could see the sadness in his eyes. You can see the sadness
because
in his face. And working with the population that I work with, you know, it, a lot of times because I see it so much, I can see it on people that they don't even have to say anything to me. I can see, you know, what they're experiencing because there's certain facial expressions, there's certain ways, there's certain body language, there's certain things that you do and that you exhibit that you can realize how a person is feeling if you just pay attention to those context clues and those, you know, little minor things that people do.
But you also know that a lot of times some people just need someone to listen to them and understand them. A lot of times people that are considered mentally unstable is because nobody gets them. And if they find people that get them, that's why a lot of people that are mentally unstable date other people that are mentally unstable because they understand them. And a lot of times the reason why they're unhappy is because the world that they live in is not designed for people that think differently. The world that we live in is designed for people that think inside the box and inside the matrix. Nobody values people that think differently. And I think that that's one of the main reasons why mentally unstable people, even some people that kill themselves, they don't feel like they fit in the world that they live in, and nobody understands them. But the moment somebody understands them, that's why so many people gravitated to Daddy, because Daddy wasn't like them, but he respected them enough to take the time to understand them. And a lot of them, even though to the outside world they were mentally unstable, when they went into Daddy's classroom, they were what was considered normal in their head, because Daddy took the time to understand them and to listen. So sometimes, I think that Kanye West is like a snowball. He's progressively getting worse in our eyes because he's trying to explain himself, and the world is not even giving him a chance to talk. We're automatically canceling him. Everything that comes out of his mouth is wrong, and he's crazy because the court of public opinion has already deemed him as crazy. So no matter what he says, we're going to think he's crazy. So he's just being himself because we're going to think he's crazy anyway. And, I watched the interview that he did with Charlamagne. A lot of people didn't watch that interview because that was around the time with the 400 Years of Slaves. I don't think that he's as crazy as people think he does. I think that people just don't understand him, so he looks crazy.
And I think that all we have to do is understand, is take the time to understand people and to respect them as humans. We may not agree with them, but we can still respect them as a human being. If he wants to dress up in a silver outfit and go outside and sing with his choir, I don't understand why that's a problem. It's funny because he looks like Zordon, like you said, but I don't think that makes him crazy. It's just that we wouldn't do it, so we think it's crazy. But he's not hurting anybody.
Oh, if you look at his eyes.
But he's not hurting anybody. He's hurting because people don't understand him.
You know, one of the things about intelligence and emotions, and I think we've all spoken about it, and that's something, you know, that I've spoken on frequently as it relates to human beings, is we have gotten into this. In fact, I think we talked about it last time we were together, the cancel culture. Like I'll give you an example. The Miss Universe contest. That's
mm-hmm.
based on cancel culture.
Hmm.
When you think of women all around the world who have been brought to a certain location, all of them intelligent,
wow.
physically attractive, going someplace, expresses themselves well, yet at the end of the night, there's only one that's going to go.
Mm.
There's only one. All of them have so much to offer, not to mention all the ones that they may have beat out in their own country. But the civilization that we're looking at is, we're going to bring a lot of people together, but there's only one that's going to win.
Mm.
That concept is cancel culture. When I watch The Voice, when I watch America's Got Talent, when I watch all of these different shows. Now, you can take by matter of degree and look at the Atlanta Housewives, the Housewives of the Potomac, the Housewives of New Jersey. You can do the same thing there. And with the way in which those intelligent, attractive women talk to each other, when we now look to our children, and our children are getting in trouble in high school, when they're bullying each other, all of us are sitting up here, now we want to punish the children. But what have we prepared for them? What have we done? We have made them that way. And so when you're dealing with someone like Kanye, who I think, you know, again, I've worked with people who are absolutely geniuses, but are absolutely unstable when it comes to emotional intelligence. That's what multiple intelligences was hoping to do. It was hoping to be able to let people know that you can be very strong in one area and in need of great assistance in another and still be intelligent. This system lives in cancel culture.
Mm-hmm.
If you are not who I say you should be,
something's wrong with you.
Something's wrong with you. And the one thing that I see in many people, in terms of looking in their eyes, you can see that there is an unhappiness in their eyes. But what is it that's making them unhappy? Is it
people
them
judging them
that's making them unhappy, or is it the cancel culture of the civilization that is attacking them and judging them for what
exactly
it is that they represent? And that's the importance of a counselor's work. You know, like as you say, like the one thing that I used to do with all of my young people in my classroom, hey, it's going to be all right. Don't worry about it. We're going to make it happen. It's rough right now.
And I used to say that to everybody.
It's rough. We're having a problem right now. But
everybody made
I don't think Kanye's challenges came when his mother died. I think Kanye had the same problems that his mother had. And not just that. And like I tell you, at Whitney Houston's funeral, like I've told you before, the most important thing that was said by Costner, Kevin Costner. When you're black in America, no matter how great you are, no matter how you surpass all of your competition, this civilization will make you feel inferior simply because of your culture. Because Kevin Costner said that. Kevin Costner said one of Whitney Houston's greatest problems when she was doing The Bodyguard was she honestly felt that she was not worthy of the part.
That is crazy.
As gifted a singer as she was, as gifted an actress as she was, as gifted in everything that she was, Michael Jackson suffered from the same thing.
That's imposter syndrome.
But guess what? Look at Simone Biles. Look at Simone Biles being told that she cannot do certain performances because no one else would be able to do it. Even in your blackness. And in fact, let's not even talk about blackness. Let's just talk about greatness. The reason why Simone Biles was not permitted to do her performance was because the white gymnast would not be able to compete with her. So that even in your greatness, they will limit you because they don't want the world to see and to know. Same thing going on with the marathons. They didn't let black people in marathons. In fact, they said that black folk couldn't run marathons. They're only good at the dash because they're always running from trouble. But then when they got the Africans from Ethiopia and Kenya, every year, males and females are just winning every. In the beginning, when they did the marathon, they would not show you it on the news. They would tell you who won, but they wouldn't show you. Now they do. So that with Kanye being a genius in the area that he is, he's very lucky to have been able to get as far as he got. Because he has been able to do things that others have not been able to do. But I notice that brother has a couple situations that he has to work on. Because this society, just like I work with the children ain't, you know, the society is not ready for indigo. They're not ready for geniuses.
Because
like Simone Biles, they will surpass the ones that are said to be the very best at what they do. And all I got to tell them is, wait till we do it in education. Wait till we do in education what Michael Jordan did in basketball and Tiger Woods did in golf and Simone Biles did in gymnastics. Wait till we can utilize our melanin in the classroom setting. Wait till we figure out exactly how to educate our children and what will happen and what would happen to children like Juice. I've had children in my class like Juice. Some of the most brilliant minds I've ever came upon.
I wish you would have been there when I went to the hip-hop conference, and there was a guy named Chris Emden, and people listening will probably know who Chris Emden is. And that's exactly what, and I don't remember exactly what he was, not exactly what he was talking about. I don't remember exactly what he said, but it was almost word for word what you just said about being able to, because that's his focus, is melanated people being able to be themselves in the classroom and realizing that because of who they are, they're better. So they make it seem in the education system that they're not good enough because they're better.
And if you realize that you have this, and it's and the reason why they won't let you realize you have every, you have the whole package is because they're lacking part of it. Imagine what kids will be able to do when they realize that they have A and B instead of just A. And I forgot exactly how he said it, but it's almost exactly what you just said. When you realize that you like it's when you talk about like the kid doesn't know right times time equal distance. And he says that he goes out and play basketball. When you learn how to do right time, time equal distance, and you're able to do basketball naturally, you have both. You have what you're learning, and you know what you're learning. They only know what they're learning, but they're not what they're. When black people realize that they are what they're learning, they can explain it. That's when. That's exactly what you just said. So he said it in a way that it was just amazing. It was really, really like. I've only heard you explain things in the way that I heard him explain it. It really was the most amazing thing that I saw that whole time. It was pretty much exact, and that's his focus is like melanated people being able to be exactly who they are and being able to be fundamentally educated while being themselves.
And that's it.
That was. And that reminded me, when you said it, because that I really wish you would have been able to be there. That was amazing.
Yeah. Well, I'll definitely look for next year.
Yeah, but, and if he does
I'll Google the brother. You know, if you share the information with me, I'll Google him and, you know, see if
yeah.
I can just reach out and tell him, you know, that you recommended that you had attended the conference. Because,
that would be,
you know, we just
great.
Have to understand this, you know, and, you know, as we look at each other and understand each other and move forward with each other, you know, that's why I tell people we need counseling. We really need counseling.
We need
people that we
but
can
the right
talk
kind.
To. Yeah, well, no, it has to be the right kind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it has to be people that understand melanin. And what melanin does in the human body.
Mm.
Because this system is not geared around melanin. They have from the beginning of school, from the development. See, school ain't been around a long time amongst them, at least in terms of the public.
Mm-hmm.
It's relatively new, you know. You know,
mm.
I would say like, the Carnegie Commission came together during the Industrial Revolution, realizing that they would need people who would work in the offices because people were getting up off the agricultural life. Things were changing technologically. Machines were taking over. And so with this civilization, they needed people who were secretaries, office managers. And so they started this concept that, you know, that children who were on the farms would now go to a building and learn how to, what, read, write, and arithmetic, calculate, money. And the Carnegie Commission under Andrew Carnegie developed a commission that studied how to develop schools. And what they studied was the African version of the Freedmen's Bureau, where they collected money in churches. And then the public money they collected in churches would then be used to educate the children of the community. That was the birth of the public school system in New York. Was the African Freedmen's Bureau of educating newly freed Africans. Because how could you just start to educate newly freed people who were enslaved? Where you get the money from? And so that's where they started this concept, was public school, and you would be allowed to stay on the farm in the morning, and then you would go to the location between 9 and they would come home at 2, 3, something like that, and they would be able to continue on the farm with their family. And in the summertime, you would then begin to reap what you sow during the year. So that's why you get the summer off. You don't get the summer off because it makes any sense. There's no educational reason why you're off in the summer. There's no educational reason why you go to school from 9 to 3. There's no educational reason why your periods are 40 minutes long.
That's crazy.
That came out of the Carnegie Commission. That came out of how they structured education. It has nothing to do with how long it takes for you to learn something. Because sometimes you can learn something in 4 seconds, 4 minutes, sometimes 40 years. It's according to what it is that you're learning and how you choose to assimilate the information. So we're living in a very, it's messed up by the Western world, I'll tell you that right now. And I'm using the word Western so that I'm not making it a cultural thing. I'm making it a social phenomenon.
Well,
and
that's
my problem in school. That's my problem with judging people. And that's why I'm so happy that y'all are into what you're into, because as a banker, that's a lifetime job. It may not always deal with money, but it deals with economics. And economics is the study of the environment. Eco, oikos, environment or home. You know, when you're dealing with counseling, you're helping the human mind begin to develop and accept itself. You know, and when you're into education and you're educating young people, those are all things that we have got to start to focus on, and we have got to understand who we're dealing with. And I'm just so proud of both of you for all that you've done and all of those that follow with you and do the work that you all are doing. A lot of respect for the young people. The millennials are a phenomenal group of people. And I think the reason why everybody want to blame millennials or wonder what's wrong with millennials is because adults in my generation don't have the courage to look in the mirror and say, damn, why didn't I do what I was supposed to do? Because you know something? The reason why we're in the social situation we're in right now, the reason why we have the leadership that we have right now, is because of the elder population. To let this happen and not speak on issues that need to be spoke on, that's on us. But fortunately, I think your generation is going to solve this situation. I really have
faith.
I
hope so.
Well, first of all, I got good news and bad news. We are going to make the promised land. The bad news is a lot of us ain't going to make it. But we are going to make it. But there are a lot of people who I wish would make it. You're not going to make it. Nothing personal. And I'm not going to tell you who you are, because who am I to tell who's going to make it? I don't know who's going to make it. But the bottom line is, we are going to get there. I think that the elder generation has to die off first. Naturally, of course. Naturally, or however they choose to go. But I think that your generation just has to prepare themselves for what's about to happen. Because this stuff is over right now. This can't sustain itself. We're all going to go buck wild crazy. Right now, we are in a cold civil war. This is a cold civil war. This is the remnants of all those arch racists that go back 1860, 1865. These are the same minds that have been around for a long time, destroying the world with wars. But your generation, a lot of respect. Because for you to be able to do what you did despite and in spite of what you have to deal with. A lot of love and respect for your generation and the hope for the young people. And, you know, I've been around young people long enough, and I've had you as children. So I have a sense of, because there are so many elders that are detached from children. They don't know anything going on in the young world. But, you know, you people keep me updated on Juice World and Chinks and all sorts of things, you know, because I'm around you. And when I'm educating children, when I'm going to New Pulse and doing programs, I'm constantly being confronted with what your generation is doing. 18-year-olds, 19-year-olds. So I know what y'all are doing. But people who go to the office and never see young people, not around young people, and only know young people for what they see on TV or whatever, or the music or whatever, they don't understand. So stay strong.
I would like to end on that note. You had said something, Candace, before, and it made me think of this. Listen to this song differently. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh. I know who you have over there, so I know what you have to do. But this song, when we were talking about something, and then I had mentioned something about it being Russian roulette, this song made a lot of sense. So does anybody have anything else to say, or do you want me to play the song?
Nah, play it. Hotep fam.
Hotep to the family. I'll see you next time. Stay strong, and just keep doing what you do.
Keep on keeping on.
Yeah,
it ain't
I like
over till we
gonna,
win.
Whoa, I'm going to take that. You don't mind if I use that, dude. Hotep to my sweetheart, Sasha, and to Conda K. See you next time.
All right.
See you next time.
Hotep family.
Hotep.
Close your eyes. Sometimes it helps.